Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on current events and opportunities in the life of our Charlestown Road church family. Today, we want to focus on our annual summer series. This is one of my favorite events of every year. I had the opportunity this past Wednesday. Roger, you've got the opportunity to present lesson two in this series tonight, and then we've got a whole host of guest speakers lined up.
We've done this, it's probably our fourth or fifth year we've done this, and it's just exciting because we get to see a different speaker every week. We stay on a very tight topic, and by the time we're done, we have just sung this song a bazillion times, and it really gets burned within our DNA. And the theme we're using is My Eyes Have Seen Your Glory, a wonderful, wonderful hymn. And in that chorus, it talks about my life forever changed. And that's what I'm going to be preaching about this evening, how God changes us, and it's a change that lasts forever.
Absolutely. Let me just read some of the lyrics of this song. As you mentioned, songs are a great springboard for our summer series. It seems like just about every year we sing them. But it's so valuable at times just to focus on the words. Strip the music away and really focus on the message. The song has just two verses. I have seen you walk down a dusty road. I have watched you stumble from my heavy load. In my heart, I struggled, but I always knew the Holy Redeemer from heaven was you. I've seen you heal the lame, the blind. I've watched your goodness, so pure, so kind. In my heart, I crumbled when I watched you die, but now I rejoice, for I know you're alive. And then this chorus, my eyes have seen your glory. My hands have touched your face. My heart still burns within my breast from the warmth of your embrace. My eyes have seen your glory. Roger, this is the lyric you're focusing on this evening. My life forever changed. And when this journey comes to an end, I'll rest in your endless grace. Two things stand out to me as I read that. Number one, it is framed as a journey, right? We talk a lot about that on this podcast, being heaven bound. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are awaiting from heaven the coming of our king, but in the meantime, we are on a journey, right? But also, one of the things that I love about this song is how personal the terms are framed. It is an intensely personal expression. My eyes have seen, my hands have touched, my heart still burns from the warmth of your embrace. Maybe that sounds a little strange to someone who is living in 2020. I've never touched Jesus with my physical hands, never heard him with my physical ears or seen him with my physical eyes. And yet, Roger, there are a couple of passages that we want to draw out from the New Testament that involved people very much in the same boat. They'd never seen Jesus, never walked with him, and yet their experience of Jesus is framed in very personal terms.
You know, we have another hymn that also kind of expresses this. We saw thee not, yet we believe. And so this is really written spiritually. We did not see Jesus walk down that dusty trail. But when we read the scriptures, it's like we were there. And so Paul would write to the Galatians in Galatians 3 verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now, you have to understand, Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem, and the churches at Galatia was a long way away, and the likelihood that the people that Paul was actually writing to there were in Jerusalem and seeing Jesus, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. But what Paul's saying is, we put Jesus before you. Jesus is your focus. It's as if somebody is looking at a target and his eyes are focused on that one point he wants to look at. That's the attention being there, that we look to Jesus and the Jesus crucified. That changes everything. That gets our order in order and our perspective from heaven in the correct place it should be.
It makes me think of that old quote that you hear every once in a while, the importance of a preacher hiding behind the cross as he proclaims. In other words, not because he's ashamed or afraid, but because the emphasis is always supposed to be Jesus. Paul would say, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It helps me when I'm thinking of that Galatians 3 reference where he says, you had this publicly portrayed before you. How did that happen? Well, just a few verses before that, in Galatians 2, verse 20, you remember this is where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And now Paul, as he carries the gospel into the region of Galatia, what is he publicly portraying? It's Jesus. He would say to the Corinthians, I'm not really anything. Apollos isn't really anything. We're just servants through whom you believed. But God is using us. And Roger, to your point earlier, today God uses the scriptures to publicly portray Jesus before our very eyes.
You know, a lot of people remember back when they played high school sports, that in the locker room there may be some quotes, or in some teams before they went out on the field or to the court, there was like a saying right above the doorway. And as the players walked through, everyone would put their hand up and touch that saying. I mean, maybe victory or teamship or whatever, something like that. And that just put a motto that put something right before their eyes. Well, that's what Paul's doing here with this preaching. We're putting before your eyes Jesus Christ crucified. And what that does for us, it reminds us that, number one, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you enough that he came for you. And Jesus is watching over you. And Jesus is coming again. And when we put that before us, what problem can be so great? When we put that before us, what troubles are going to crush us? What worries are going to hold us down? What doubts? What questions? Because Christ crucified. That's what I touch when I go out that doorway. That's what I see. That's what's before me.
Absolutely. There's another reference in Hebrews chapter 2. Very similar, of course, a different audience here, but very much the same sort of language. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, that writer says, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In Galatians 3, it was Jesus crucified. Here in Hebrews chapter 2, it is Jesus crowned with glory and honor. But how interesting that still these people, who odds are the vast majority, maybe all of them, had never seen Jesus. There is something about the work of the gospel and the power of the New Testament where readers can be told, we see Jesus.
And what they see is that, you know, this is why later in Hebrews it'd say the word of God is living and active and sharper. This is not just words in a book. This is God coming alive to us. This is putting before us these things. And so by faith they saw him. They saw him who they believed. They saw him. And today, all these years removed, you know, why do we believe? Because there are some words written in a book? No, because he's real. Because he lives. Because he reigns. How do you know that? We know that because of the words written in this book, but this book is alive and it does things to us. And so we see Jesus not just in the scriptures, but we see Jesus as it's lived out in the lives of the disciples. We see Jesus in the heart of someone who's serving today. We see Jesus in the heart of someone who's worshiping God's way, or in the hands of kindness. Someone's making peace among the places where there are no peace. Blessed are the peacemakers is what Jesus would say. And so we see Jesus, as Paul said, Christ lives in me. When you saw Paul, you saw Christ. Not sinless, not perfect, not the crucified one, but you saw the living example, and that's how he is for us.
There is a therefore that all of this is leading to, right? And that's how so many of the New Testament letters work. The third reference that we have for today is Hebrews chapter 12 that begins with that big important word, therefore. If Jesus has been publicly portrayed before us as crucified, and if by faith we see him crowned with glory and honor, well, what does that mean for me on an ordinary Wednesday? It's hard to improve on Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2 where the writer says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated. How powerful that that is framed in the present tense. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Undoubtedly, we are being told, even on an ordinary day like today, to look to Jesus.
And what's interesting is he puts before us three different options there. We can look to the cloud of witnesses around us. He says we're surrounded by them, but that's not what we're looking at. We could look at the sin that entangles us, but we're not looking at that. That's easy to see. Our eyes are upon Jesus, and we're to finish what we have started. That's the idea here. We look to Jesus because he has the answers. We look to Jesus because he knows the outcome. We look to Jesus because he will be there in the end. And that's the one we believe in. That's the one who saved us. That's the one we want to spend eternity with.
And this is the lens through which we would really encourage you to not just sing this song that is, in a sense, our anthem for the months of July and August, but to engage in this study with us. We want to use God's Word, and we've asked these guest speakers to use God's Word so that throughout these months of July and August, with all of the craziness going on in the world around us, discouraging things at times, disheartening things, uncertain elements of everyday life all around us, we want you to be able to say, in the most personal of terms, I have seen, I have watched, I know because of what Jesus has done for me that I am heaven bound. Roger, you can't put a price tag on that sort of assurance.
No, you can't. And that builds a confidence, and that builds a hope within you. And like you say, when it looks like the wheels are coming off the world and no one knows what's going on, and so many people are consumed, they're right and left, and they forget that there's an up and a down, we need to remind ourselves that this hope and this confidence, this assurance, this is found in Jesus Christ, and that's what's going to get us through. That's the hope that we need to have. We hold on to not Washington. Well, our hope is not coming from the State House. The hope is coming from the Lord and his throne.
Absolutely. So last Wednesday, I kicked the whole thing off. If you haven't had the opportunity to watch or listen to that, it is archived at charlestownroad.org. Roger, tonight you are speaking on My Life Forever Changed. And then you can see the rest of the topics and speakers at charlestownroad.org. In my heart, I struggled. I've watched your goodness. By faith, I watched you die. I know you're alive. My heart still burns within. When this journey comes to an end, I'll rest in your endless grace. We've talked a lot in recent weeks about making sure that even in the midst of these strange, socially distanced times, you don't slack when it comes to healthy spiritual habits. Roger, there isn't anything that any of us could be doing at 7 o'clock p.m. that would be worth more than engaging in these studies.
Absolutely not. I mean, there's lots of things you can do and lots of things pulls your attention, especially at the end of the day. You're just tired and want to sit in your chair and not get up. But at the end of that, that's not going to get you closer to God. It's not going to change your heart for the better. And through these great lessons that we just know we're going to get, we just know that these are things that can change us, can make us better, can make us see clearly through this cloudy world we're in right now. This is the things that this eldership and this church is really providing to try to help us stay focused and stay on this journey. It's no good to just say, I've been on the journey. There's no t-shirts for coming in second place here. Either you finish it or you don't. And we want to finish it.
If you're not able to join us in person, we've got a number of very hard-working guys who make sure that the live stream is available. We always appreciate them. If you're not able to be with us in person, we hope that you'll open a Bible, focus, get rid of the distractions, and engage in that study with us, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock p.m. this evening. One practical reminder, at this point, we still do not have any children's Bible classes during these sessions. Everyone will be assembling in the auditorium, but we would love to have you there in person with us. Even though it's a strange summer, great opportunity to learn and grow together. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. Of course, we're looking forward to Sunday, but even before that, we're looking forward to this evening at 7 o'clock p.m. We would love to have you come and continue to grow with us.